This man is genuine. I've watched him since the first day I met him. He's genuine. So listen close to what he's got for us this morning, because he's got something for each and every person sitting here this morning. I have no idea what he's preaching on, but I just am aware of that fact.
It's good to be back with you folks. I appreciate you being here. I'm sorry I didn't run everybody off, but anyway, evidently I've run all the visitors off. I'm going to draw your attention to the book of Exodus. I don't know where I'm going, okay? So you're in for a treat. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I'm going to start off with, I want to talk about Moses. Moses, let me give you some background. Moses was born of Jewish parents, and there was an edict in the land of Egypt that killed all the male children, and his parents refused to have him killed. So they put him in a little ark, a little boat, put him in the river, and his sister watched where he would end up. And just so his sister found that Pharaoh's daughter actually picked him up and says, this is one of the Hebrew children. I'm going to take him home and raise him. And so she raised him. And at age 40, Moses came into his own, and he said, I'm going to go see my people. And he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite arguing. And he looked around. I thought it was funny the Bible said he looked around and made sure that nobody else was around, and he killed the Egyptian. And the next day he went out, and lo and behold, two Israelites were fighting, and one of them said, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? He said, the word is out, I killed the Egyptian. So he hightails it to Midian. Now, he has spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, so he goes to Midian, he meets this lady, and he marries her, and he has spent the next 40 years taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. I don't know anything about raising sheep. I just understand that it's a lonely life for a shepherd to be out on the hillside with the sheep all the time, and I'm assuming he's out there night and day, and he's sort of like their big brother or the dad, and he just takes care of them. That brings me to chapter 3 real fast. Well, chapter 3 opens up. It says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, I don't know how you feel, but if I saw an angel, a real physical angel that I knew was an angel, okay? Now, just for a sidebar, I believe we entertain angels unaware. I believe I have experienced that at least one time in my life. And it sort of scared me, to be honest. But an angel appeared to him. Now, I don't know what you'd do if you knew there was an angel standing in front of you. Would you pass out? Would you faint? Would you run? Would you be speechless? You'd be too scared to run. What would you do? The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame and a fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. I don't know. I mean, usually when I see fire, I think it's going to burn up. Okay? That's what I think. I think it's going to burn up. But this bush didn't. And so... So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. What would you do if you saw a bush burning that wasn't being consumed and then it spoke to you? What would you do? I don't know what some of us would do. So we turn and run, I'm not big on confrontations. I've had too many in my life, and I don't like them, especially when it's over God's word. I just don't like them. But he said, "Do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place that you're staying is on holy ground." And moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. I see several interesting things here in these particular verses. I can't imagine what the voice of God sounds like, number one. For some reason to me, it sounds deep. I can't prove that from Scripture, but it sounds deep. But I know it's a voice that would get your attention. That's all I can ascertain from this, that it would be a voice that gets your attention. But see, God doesn't really speak to us in audible voices anymore. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to that small, quiet voice of the Lord. And in reality, what I have found over the years, at least in my life, most of the time that he speaks in that small, quiet voice of the Lord like he did to Elijah, I have to be still and quiet. I have to be willing to listen. I find that usually thoughts come into my brain in the middle of the night when I get up. I get up in the middle of the night and pray, and that's when sometimes before my feet ever hits the floor, God gives me this impression about something or just a statement. And I find that to be intriguing. I find it to be challenging. I find it to be humbling. I find it to be, there's some instruction there for me to do or change my behavior or something like that. And I find that God, really and truly, God's in control. I mean, when you think about it, he knows when you're asleep. He knows when you're awake. He knows where you are and when you're there, how long you're going to be there. He knows in advance everything about you. But one of the scariest thoughts, I shouldn't say scary, but one of the astounding things that I find that I'm coming to realize more and more and more and more in my life is that God knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. He knows the real motive behind what I do. He knows whether it's good or whether it's bad or whether it's selfish, whether it's whatever it is. He just knows. He knows our hearts. And he knows what you're going to say even before you say it. And somebody may say, well, why do I need to say it if God already knows? God wants to hear it, bottom line. God wants to hear it. And so the Lord appears to him, but I find it interesting that in verse number 4, he responds, and he said to Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. Here I am. Interesting phrase. If you want to do a Bible study in your private time, go through the Bible and find the seven places that God responded with the term, here I am. It's an interesting study. Maybe one day somebody will share those thoughts with you. But he came to that place, and anyway, God begins to give him instruction. He says, I've seen my people. They're in captivity, and I've heard their prayers, and I know their sorrows, so I'm going to come down and deliver them. So you know the story well. And he says, I'm going to send them to a large land, a good land. I'm going to basically send them to the nation, what is now we know as the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel at that particular time was occupied by a number of different groups of people that were stronger than the Israelites. And so he says, verse number 9, he says, now therefore the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Let me back up right here and just reassure you one thing. God hears every prayer that you ever say. God hears every prayer that you ever uttered from your mouth, whether you spoke vocally or in your heart of hearts. God knows every prayer. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God keeps track of all those prayers. How he stores, I know where he stores them. I don't know how he puts them in there. He has a vial in heaven that has the prayers of the saints. And I don't know how he does that, but he does it. And he listens to them every once in a while just as a reminder about you and I and our prayer life. If God's going to listen to your prayers, what would he hear you say? Well, are they selfish prayers? Are they sincere prayers? Are they prayers for others? What are they prayers of praise? If you look at what we call the Lord's Prayer, you'll find out it begins with praise. We need to spend more time praising God than we do anything else. We need to spend all of our, quote, give me prayers. We say a lot of those. Lord, give me health, strength, money, whatever, protection. But spend some time just praising God. Just thank him for life, limb, food, hair on your head, arms that can move, you know. Just thank him for every. You are a walking miracle. Just the fact that you are here today is a gift of God. There's a lot of people that doesn't have that gift. I just found out yesterday on Facebook that one of the students that I had years ago, that actually spent some time with my wife and I when she went to college, she has died, and she's in her 50s. And I'm thinking, golly days, smart girl. I mean, she was the smartest girl in the whole school. I don't think she ever made anything less than an A minus. I don't know if she even made an A minus, to be honest. She was just a smart student and motivated. But it's a wake-up call every now and then when you find that someone's with the Lord that's much younger than you. That is the gift of God in you to extend your life for. And then why has he extended your life? You ever think about that? Why are you the age that you are and where you are and what you have? God, it's a gift of God. And God has you here for a reason, to do something for him. And what does he want you to do? Only you and him know. I don't know, but only you and him know. But God has a way of impression. And then it says in verse number 10, he says, come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When God gives you an instruction, how do you respond? Moses' first response, who am I? Basically saying, I'm a nobody. I don't know how to do it. Who am I? Begins to offer that excuse. Well, the astounding thing of it is that God will lay upon your heart certain things to do. And you would be unwise if you question God. You would be unwise if you question God. If God tells you to do it, then he's going to be with you. He's going to protect you. He's going to give you the words to say. He's going to give you the resources to get it done. It may not be the resources that you own, but God's going to give you those tools. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to go all the way over to chapter 4, because there's a number of things I want to say here in chapter 4 to try to really get your attention. Because I want to talk to you about letting go and letting God. This is where I'm going to begin to meddle, all right? I'm going to let you know. You're in a unique position. You are a small group of people, a church that's bonded together to serve the Lord. You would say that privately and publicly. True? Okay. What if God tells you to do something that you don't want to do? How are you going to react? Let's face it, here within the next foreseeable future, you're going to pick up your bags and you're going to move. And I can guarantee you, as human beings, some of you are going to say, I want to go here, and some of you are going to say, I want to go here. Some of you will say, no, we need to go over here, and somebody is going to have the nerve to say, no, let's go over there. But I'm going to say to you, what have you prayed about, and what has God told you to do? You would never go wrong following God. You will never go wrong following God. You will never go wrong following God. If you determine in your heart that you're going to do what God wants you to do, God's going to bless you. Bottom line, God's going to bless you. But when you come to chapter 4, Moses answered and said, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. I think it's interesting that that word suppose appears twice in one verse. But suppose, Don't give the hypothetical. Get the real stuff. God said, therefore, we do. Not let's suppose, but let's follow God. God said he was going to, God told Moses, I'm going to get my people out of the land of Egypt, and I'm going to give them the land of Israel, the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give them that land. I've already prepared for it. But suppose, you know, so God gives some reassurance here. So he says, what's that in your hand? Basically, Moses said, it's a staff. It's what I keep the sheep in line with. It's what I rescue them with. It's what I sort of prod them along the way. It's what I protect them with. He says, throw it down on the ground. And as soon as he threw it down on the ground, it became a snake. I don't know how you feel about snakes, but I usually don't like them. We had a copperhead in the garage about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and my son-in-law, actually my daughter found it and screamed, bloody murder. And my son-in-law went running downstairs, and he got a shovel, and he pinned it against the wall, so to speak, but he couldn't control it. And I went and got another shovel, and I pinned him good, and so my son-in-law could cut the head off of him. But when that serpent appears, what are you going to do? And then God has the nerve to say, pick him up by his tail. Most of you would hightailed it out of the building, out of the territory by then, okay? But suppose, pick him up by the tail. Now, he just saw the staff become a snake, and now he's going to see this. He's going to grab the snake, and it's going to become a staff again. What do you need to see to know that God's in control? What do you need to see that God's in control? You're about to witness a lot of things that God's in control, and the question of it is, are you going to obey him, or are you going to be a little bit argumentative? That's you're going to be your dilemma, all right? But watch what God does. Not only that, but he said, verse number five, that they may believe that the Lord your God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said, now put your hand in your bosom. So Moses did. I'm assuming his right hand. I'm not sure if it was left hand or right hand. He puts it in there and he says, now pull it out. It's got leprosy all over it. Now put it back in there again. Pulls it out and it's whole. Okay, Moses, what do I need to do to convince you? What do I need to do to convince you? Well, Moses being the questioning person that he is, and we being the people that we are, he's in verse number 9, it says, and it shall be, if they do not, that is the Israelites, if they do not believe these two signs or listen to your voice, that you will take water from the river and pour it on dry ground, and the water that you take from the river will become blood on dry ground. If I was to pour this water right here on this carpet, and this carpet would turn red with blood, would that convince you? Would that convince you? What does it take to convince us that God's in charge? See, God's in charge of our life whether we like it or not. We have the opportunity to be obedient to him and enjoy the blessings of God, or we have the opportunity to say no to God, be hard-headed, and live with the consequences. Any of you guys hard-headed? You know, I'm hard-headed. I've softened up a lot. I've mellowed in my older age, okay? But I've learned a lot of things the hard way because I'm hard-headed. And I dare say some of you are in the same boat that I'm in. It's time that we listen to God and let God speak to us and we be obedient to him. We need to let go and just let God. Bottom line, let God be in charge. He's in charge anyway. He wants what's best for you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you through your trials and tribulations. He will be with you through your good times as well as your bad. He's promised to be with you, and his grace is sufficient to meet all your needs. Whether things don't go the way that you want them to or not, he has the ability to be with you because the Spirit of God indwells you. You know that as a believer. The Spirit of God indwells you. But we fail to appropriate his power and his goodness in our lives so many times. I'm guilty of that every day. God wants to use you. God desires to use you. Quit saying suppose and just let God work in you. Moses still isn't convinced. Verse number 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I don't know if Moses had a stuttering problem or his tongue just moved in slow motion. I don't really know. But this is the excuse that Moses offers, is I don't have the speaking ability. God has the ability to open your mouth and let the words flow. When I first started standing before people, I used to hold on to this thing right here. I could move this thing from the way my legs shook. I was scared to death. I still have problems today with my mouth. My mouth goes dry. That's the reason why I carry water to the pulpit. But God has a way of making you sufficient for the task at hand. God will let you take, God somehow intervenes in every obstacle that you think that you have. So the Lord says to Moses, who made man's mouth? Somebody in here is going to go somewhere this week, and there's that still, small, quiet voice of the Lord's going to speak to your heart and say, speak up and invite them to church. And you're going to stand there and argue with the Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I can't quote scripture. I can't do this. I can't do that. Open your mouth and let God direct your words. God has a way of just giving you the words. Been there, done that, learned how to do that years ago. God just, you can start a conversation no matter where you are. Grocery line, a pharmacy line, standing at the gas pump, pumping your gas, and somebody across the aisle pumping their gas. You can start a conversation. You know, gas is too expensive. Gas is going up. Gas is going down. I'm not getting the mileage that I used to get. My car is not whatever. You can start a conversation. And before you leave, you say, oh, by the way, I go to Fairhaven's Baptist Church. Would you come and visit us sometime? We start at 10:45. That's all you got to say. They say, where are you? And I don't know the address of your church. I said, if you extend the runway of the airport, you'd run over the church. That's your address to me. And everybody knows where the airport is. And they said, oh, yeah, extend the runway and you're going to go over the church. So they know where you are. God has the ability just to give you words and let him do so. And when you begin to do that, you'll find out that God will somehow be with you. Verse number 12 says, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what to say. God told Moses that, not only in verse number 12, but he also told him that in verse number 15. Why does God have to tell us something more than once? Why can't we just do it the first time? God wants to use you and I. Verse 13 says, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand whomever else you may send. Lord, I'm not qualified. I don't want to do it. I can't speak. Send somebody else. I want you to notice the next verse. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Do you want God mad at you? If you do, just disobey him. Tell him no. I guarantee you the hard hat that you have on your head is not hard enough. You may have a hard head, but he made a hard hat on your head, but he may decide to poke you in the stomach. Or slap you on your backside and just say, get on down the road. Like you did with your kids when they, you know, you slapped them on the backside and said, do what I told you to do. God's going to get, God. When God talks to you, you need to obey. Whatever he tells you to do, you need to let go and let God. If I can drive home this one point, let go of control and let God lead you, you will be a much better person. You'll be a much better church. Just let go and let God. So when God got mad, but then finally Moses wised up. Verse number 15, he says, now you speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth. He says, okay, I'm going to be with you and Aaron. Well, if you followed the dialogue going down the way, Aaron may have been with him, but as Moses was doing the speaking. Actually, Aaron, in a sense, became a handicap to Moses. Because it was Aaron that made the golden calf while Moses was up on the mount. Be careful who you partner with. When God tells you to do something by yourself, then do it by yourself. Don't ask for help, because that help may be a noose around your neck, so to speak, or a ball and chain around your ankles. Let God work in your life. Let go and let God. When you do that, God will bless you. God will take care of you. God will supply you. God will put a shield around you. God just has that ability. He's God. He can do that. Let go and let God. When you do that, things just work out. You say, but I can't see. How is this going to work out? Or how is that going to work out? I don't know. All I know is God told me to do it. And if I get on the path and start doing it, God somehow just keeps opening things up. God just keeps taking care of things. What happens if there's a roadblock? Well, I would say first thing, drop back a little bit and pray. God, did I make a mistake? Did I get ahead of you? Did I go down the wrong path? God, you told me to do this. I'm trying to follow you. Help me out. What do I do? Wait a little bit longer, approach it again, sidestep and go around this way. What do I do? Let God direct you. God will direct you and God will take care of you. God has a way of just opening doors. Well, I don't have the resources to do this. God says, I own all the gold in all the hills, on all the mines. I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing too hard for God. God's in control. Let him be in control of you. Let God work in you. It'll be amazing. What do you do? Just get out of his way and let him. You be obedient and do what God wants you to do. If you do that, I guarantee you, God will take care of you. God will provide for you. God will make sure everything goes well. But you know the story well. God was with Aaron and Moses along the way. But verse number 15, the last part of that verse says, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what to do. Are you teachable? That's the bottom line. Are you teachable? Only you can answer that. But this I will say to you. If you're not willing to let God use you, all I can say to you is woe is you. Because God wants to use you. God desires to use you. What are you afraid of? What are you holding on to? I don't know how long you've been in an existence, but I can guarantee you this. You have certain traditions that you will fight for. Not scripture, but traditions. Certain ways that you've done things, certain ways that you've always done them. My parents did them that way. My grandparents did them that way. My great-great-great-great-great-grandparents did them that way. And I'm going to do them that way. What if God changes your mind? No, what is God? You know, is God in control or are you in control? What are you afraid of turning loose? You scared of losing control? Been there, done that. God has a way of just taking over. Let go of your staff. That's your protection and your authority. God won't bless you to your potential. Moses had to take that staff. That was the staff that he raised at the Red Sea and sit and watched the Red Sea divide. Now, I don't know what that, if that didn't scare Moses, I don't know what did. I mean, you raise your arms and all of a sudden, man. See, God's in control. If you have the courage to let go and let God, I promise you, you will see a marvelous work that God will do with the people who will let go and let Him. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for letting me share a little bit of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you bless this church, that you challenge them, that you watch over them. Lord, if they're holding on to something, they'll let go and just let you be in control, total control. Let you open doors. Close doors. Just say, stand there. When you just tell us to stand there at the door and just watch and be patient, I'll open it up. That we'll get out of your way and just let you be God and let us be servants. Servants, Lord, is what you desire of us, that we may please the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Lord Jesus set the prime example of being a servant of thine. He was willing to go to the cross and die for each one of us. He was willing to let go of his life and just let you be in total control of him. What an example, Lord. Help us to follow Jesus' example. We'll just let go and let God do what God wants to do for the glory of God. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.